Hey!
Hey, wow. Good evening!
See, I waved with the wrong arm again.
Well, you waved with... You didn't wave with any arm. Well. That means you didn't have an arm there.
Welcome to the Barrel Roll Newscast!
October 29th, 2016.
Today we're talking about Deadpool 2.
We've got some new Pokemon stuff to talk about.
And our...
top horror movies!
There you go.
It's a pretty thin week.
It is a pretty thin week, and I've screwed up and already shown our wrong thing.
Oh, no.
It's already horror. Well, it's terrifying.
It is horror. Oh.
You know what?
There we go.
Yeah. That's okay.
There we go.
The audio people won't know that better.
Yeah. Hello, audio people. Hello. Welcome to this podcast.
Welcome to the Bassy Tunes of the Barrel Roll Newscast. We are your hosts for this evening.
Graham.
That was terrifying.
Welcome. I'm Nick.
Also welcome, Batman. Welcome. So,
that's Tony. All right. Let's get started then. Yeah. It's pretty slow news week.
It is. It's pretty thin.
It's a really thin news week. So we're padding this episode with our top horror film picks.
I think the no one wants to make any news after Nintendo's thing last week. And
yeah, everybody's taking some downtime. Well, especially Nintendo, Red Dead 2.
Yeah.
And
maybe some movie stuff, I think.
So after. The only people who really released anything were Pokemon, like Nintendo. They're just like, hey, we can keep releasing movies.
Yeah, like...
what you gonna do?
Yeah.
Not watch it?
who are we gonna compete against ourselves? Like, shit.
Oh, once you're done watching Pokemon, why don't you check out... or once you're done checking out the Nintendo Switch, why don't you check out some Pokemon?
Yeah.
Once you're done watching Pokemon,
the demo's out
watch
now,
some Zelda.
Special, right?
So, either who.
Yeah.
Starting off with...
Some slightly... less fun news. We'll see what happens from it. My understanding... Okay, so Deadpool 2 has lost its
director Tim Miller.
Was that the same director as before?
He worked on the first one.
Yeah.
And he and Ryan Reynolds worked pretty closely on it, actually.
Yeah.
But from what I've read is that Ryan Reynolds and Tim Miller never really worked well together.
They had some creative differences.
So, and what the movie that we got... ultimately in theaters was more Ryan Reynolds' push.
For this one, obviously the budget's going to be bigger for two.
Mm-hmm.
And from what we've gathered is Tim, and I mean it's all little bits of hearsay here and there.
Yeah, right, it's all...
so it was either who they wanted to hire as Cable, who's another X-Men who travels through time, and him and Deadpool team up quite often.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's just that. Yeah.
So there was casting differences.
So that's a natural character to occur
yes.
in Deadpool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there was that... that's one of the rumors, is they were fighting over who would play Cable.
Okay.
Then there was the other rumor of Tim Miller wanted to go big budget,
like almost
action flick.
Like $3 million.
Oh,
but like go really hardcore, and Ryan was like, hey,
no,
we did so well with the first one because of our constraints.
Yeah.
Let's, even if we have even if we have like $300 million, let's keep this movie...
Shut the fuck up.
They did something. They did something right.
Well, and the biggest piece is too, they still got the same writers, so the same two writers,
mm-hmm.
who Ryan Reynolds, out of his own pocket, paid to have on set every day.
Oh, so like,
to make sure that if there needed to be rewrites, they were there ready to like fix things because the studio wouldn't pay for the writers to like stay
hang
on
around.
So he paid out of his own pocket. Like that's the thing where you sit there going,
it's like,
everybody's panicking, and you're going, guys. There is still a large portion of the people involved in Deadpool.
Well, especially, like, Ryan Reynolds. He feels like the staple. He's not leaving.
No.
Yeah.
The Ryan Reynolds won't leave. It's his little pet project.
This is his baby.
Yeah, he's been working on it for longer than most people realize.
Well, because even when, after that movie that we shall not name, he walked into the writer's room and essentially threw all of his Deadpool comics on the table and went, if we're doing a Deadpool movie, we're doing this right, and I'm not having this happen again. Start reading.
That's a good chunk of why the movie took so long the first time around.
Well, that was 8 years ago, and then Fox was like, well, we don't want to make this. We have a Deadpool. He shoots lasers from his eyeballs.
He has his mouth sewn shut.
Like, let's make this movie our way, and he was like, no. And that's why it took so long, because they're like, no one's going to watch this movie that you guys are making. It's horrible.
And I think...
were they wrong?
And I think they had a perfect opportunity, too, after the reboot...
Yes.
The reboot removal of certain movies from the X-Men timeline. That it's like, we have this golden opportunity to rewrite this character.
Yeah.
Let's go with it. Like, this is the best time to do it.
Yeah. So, either way, Tim Miller is gone.
Some people are petitioning for a certain director,
Quentin Tarantino,
to work on the film. I feel like that would be a. I don't know how I would feel about that.
In my opinion,
I don't know.
I love Tarantino, but Tarantino has to do his own movies.
Yeah, I feel like him and Ryan Reynolds would not get along.
No. He's not a franchise guy. Like, yeah, he is, no, but he's his own franchise.
He's his own franchise guy.
Because every one of his movies feels like his movie. He doesn't count Kill Bill as two movies. It's not a franchise. It's just it's a movie. It's part one, part two, done. Yeah. It's one movie.
Yeah.
And apparently he's already said he's only making 10 films for his career and then he's done. Because he doesn't want to become that.
He's got two left?
Yeah. So he does not want to become that director like George Lucas or Steven Spielberg, where all of a sudden by the end of their career you're going.
He's kind of old,
You know, Steven Spielberg's name is at the top of BFG the last Indiana Jones movie, and you go, you should have stopped while you were ahead. He plans on it. So everybody's like, why would he pick Deadpool 2 as one of his last films?
Right,
especially with that on the table.
Yeah,
and like they're gonna want him back if he does a good job. Not to say he wouldn't do a good job,
right?
But, like, I don't think he would come back for that kind of stuff.
No.
There's a lot of corporate that he doesn't want to be involved with.
Well, and they're like, this is the best job for him. Like, it's blood, it's guts, it's gore, it's swearing, it's this, it's that. But it's not stylized.
Yeah.
Like, not his style of... Yeah. Like, it's not like Deadpool sits there and cuts a guy's head off and you see blood spurt out for the next, 30 seconds.
Yeah. And it's like a fountain.
Yeah. Like, you see a head get shot or a guy smack into the sign.
Yes.
Like, you know, when the guy's,
But that happens, if that happened in real life, that would happen in real life, not when in the Tarantino movie.
Movie...
He would go through him.
Yeah.
Well, it would smack, there would be the blood splatter that came out, and then, like, on the other side, there would be a gush of blood that shot out the other side, because that's how blood works.
In his movies.
Right. So it's like, I don't feel he's the right person for that role. Now, there was a rumor online today, which I saw.
Mm.
The director for Luke Cage is apparently in the running.
Hmm.
So for the Netflix show.
Well, he's already got...
One of the directors is in line for...
He's already got half the paperwork filled out.
He just has to sign the Fox side?
Yes. We'll see how that works.
So. Yeah, so...
I'm not worried, honestly. And the movie's so far away that...
And that's my thing. If all of a sudden the writers quit or are fired...
That won't happen.
But that's what... Like, if they get fired and Tim Miller's gone and the only one left out of that little quadruplet is Ryan Reynolds, then I start worrying.
Yeah.
Because Ryan Reynolds won't leave.
Yeah.
But if every other creative piece... ditches out,
it'll be
then it'll be like, okay.
And as far as we've heard, they're still on track for a production.
Yeah.
So, like, nothing...
They don't need a director right now. Yeah, they don't need a director yet. So Tim Miller obviously wanted to go in a different direction with the writing, and so he's gone from... He's essentially out of the writer's room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So the writers can do their thing. Yeah. Like...
And it's good. It begs the question of how much he actually, threw, how much input he had in the first time around.
And because
Ryan had a lot of creative control, arguably, for the first movie.
Well, now he has a ton of it. That's how he got this, he has a lot of, in his contract, he gets, one of those final says, which is odd, but they didn't think this movie would do that well.
And I feel like they would listen, it's in their best interest to listen to Reynolds.
Right? But it's you have Robert Downey Jr., who did Iron Man, and they signed a contract saying, he makes money off ticket sales.
Yeah.
And they did that going, sure. Because if this movie flops, whatever. If it does well, hey, we've made some money.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, Robert Downey Jr. is making billions off of one film, and Marvel's like...
And he's not even the actor in the front of the movie title.
Yeah. Captain America, Civil War, Robert Downey Jr. gets paid the most money.
still paid more than Chris Evans.
But that's where you just sit there and go, all right, but that's, those we'll are see. How those it contracts happens. Are signed. You hope
contracts,
you,
contracts.
You get into a really weird niche movie that people go, it's not going to do well, give him whatever he wants. And then does well and it's like, oh no.
He's getting everything.
He got everything he wanted.
So that's that.
His grandchildren are retired.
Yeah.
Forever.
He never needs to do anything ever again in his life. Cool.
Yep.
So with that, our next piece of news is the final...
trailer for Nintendo's Pokemon Sun and Moon, coming out November 18th. They're pretty specific on that, so it's up there.
It's up here.
If you... want to see Graham watch the last trailer?
Yep.
It's up on our YouTube. It's up on our Facebook. Eventually, everywhere. Yeah.
I don't know.
It'll be up.
These things are arranged.
It'll be up around there.
Yeah.
Watch.
Watch our social spaces for it. So yeah. This is the final trailer. They released the evolutions for the basic starter Pokemon.
Yep.
So Decidueye, Incineroar, and Primeraria.
It's a good thing he knows all these
things. An archer,
so.
A mermaid, and John Cena.
John Cena. I'm actually waiting for that to happen. I'm surprised it hasn't yet.
Yeah.
This is the final trailer, and with this trailer, Nintendo also announced that Pokemon Sun and Moon has become the most pre-ordered game in Nintendo history.
That's cool.
Which, it's good. Don't get me wrong, it's really, really good, but there really wasn't much out there for Nintendo games. I mean, everyone...
Other than the last Pokemon game.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, people buy Zelda games all the time. You don't need to pre-order them. Like, it's just surprising that this one had so many. And the special demo... obviously helped a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And so...
because that sounded cool.
And it's the right way to do a demo.
Mm-hmm. Give a portion of the game that's not actually the game.
Give a little story that's not yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, get people's feet wet, get their appetites... you know,
and not where you're playing the first 10 minutes of the game, or you're playing a game with a time limit on and you're trying to, like, you know, get through as much as human... This one, you can just sit down, you can enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
And the unique And the nice thing about this...
30 minutes!
Yeah.
And the special
demo... Do you like it?
The nice thing about the special demo, and you brought this up briefly the last time around, a lot of 3DS demos are after 30 uses. You can't play the demo
anymore. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With Sun and Moon, the special demo...
I can show my friends, and I don't have to worry about it. Yeah. Like, there was a lot of times where I download
a
demo.
It's a full game. It's a full game. Yeah. It's not a demo.
There'd be a lot of times I download a demo, and it's like, you have 10 uses. Because some of them, like, the use limit is small. So you're like, you didn't quit the demo.
You just played it
and you like put it in sleep mode because you're like, now I have to show as many people as possible this demo before I switch off of it. Like, I can only show this off so many times. I'm just not going to quit it, because if you quit, that uses one of your, like, that's
one of the
that's
uses.
A use.
And they've gotten pretty good with it lately. It's like, oh, this one's got 30 uses. Yeah. It's like, by the time I get to 10 uses, I'm done playing the demo, which is fine. But with the special demo with Sun and Moon, you can just play it all you want, basically, because there's a lot of incentive to
go back into it, there's different
events that come up. That's, we've talked about ad nauseum last time, right? Yeah. So, most pre-ordered Nintendo game of all history.
And what do we, starter-wise?
I'm taking Popplio.
Which one's that?
That's the
water
one.
Pokemon.
Water one.
Oh, the
Rowlet. Rowlet is the grass-flying one. Litten is the fire cat.
Behind Tony's head.
And...
I'd pick the little owl dude.
I feel like a lot of people are going to pick up Rowlet.
He's been the most popular because even his starter, it's hard to see for you, Graham, but he's got a little bow tie.
Really cute.
And he's like a little
oval. I remember
that
when they first announced him.
And then he goes for the cute one.
He goes for the mid-range, like his second evolution, and he gets a little like twirl
emo,
on his head.
Emo twirl thingy hair.
It's not even emo, it's more, he's very metro. He's very like, I know where I belong.
He's gonna flip his hair back.
He does. He does the whole I know I'm hot.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm not even on fire. No. I'm not even the fire type.
Yeah, here. Like, he knows he's good looking, and then all of a sudden he evolves again and becomes Arrow.
He's the Green Arrow.
He's got the hood, he's got a bow and arrow.
Yeah. I'm surprised people are gonna either name him Amel.
I'm naming mine Starling after Starling City. And every time he kills a Pokemon, I'll be like, you have failed this city.
No, you gotta catch him, and then add him to your team.
Not if I'm fighting other trainers. You defeat a trainer and just be like...
Oh, okay. I follow you.
It's like, Bug Catcher, you have failed this city.
I'm like 10.
Shoot him in the leg with an arrow.
But no, I want the water one this time around. I think it looks really, really cool.
They all actually look pretty cool. But the water Pokemon, I'm just not... I'm not digging the whole mermaid thing this time around.
I just changed things up for me.
I know you do. Like, you're the Pokemon guy.
And the thing is, like, it just because, unlike the last kind of earlier generation games, if you choose one starter, it doesn't mean you can't get the other starters. It's been easier to trade with people.
Well, the world trade, the world, like,
the
those world,
stuff.
Yeah, the world
and
trade
And on top of that, even
if,
like, you have your friends with a 3DS in the game, it's like, oh, we don't need a link cable, obviously.
Yeah,
we haven't used it for a long time it's just like, when even in X and Y and Omega Ruby, it's like, I got all the starters within a week.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I knew you with one, you got that one.
Well, then once you find a breeder and a ditto,
things
get real easy, because it's like, that's the best part, is you can start trading eggs, like, I got a surprise for you, and then a Magikarp comes out, and you're like...
I don't think you can trade eggs.
You can.
You can trade eggs?
Yep.
Oh.
Because I've done it. because I sent my friend Brian a Charmander egg the one time. So now I'm not sure if the egg hatches who the Pokemon actually, like, I would like to see if he belongs to...
Whatever you...
Me, or if he belongs to Brian, because...
It belongs to the person who bred it. I think that that's
is that how it goes?
I
like, I don't know. I don't know whose code it's attached to.
It would be who started with it.
Because whenever I do trade a Pokemon, obviously they evolve faster and all that jazz, and you can't change their names, and it bugs me. So I trade for the Pokemon, then I go to the breeder, and I breed my own.
Yep.
So then it's mine.
And then the Wonder Trade system is fantastic.
Wonder Trade is just always fun, because you catch, like, multiple of something.
So how Wonder Trade works is you log on to the game, and then you say, I'm going to trade this Caterpie into the world. Someone's going to get a Caterpie, and I'm going to get something cool. And then you don't know don't know who you're trading with. And then, meanwhile, someone on the other side of the world's like, someone's going to get a Caterpie. And you both get Caterpies, and you're just like... I'm trying this again. Send that Caterpie back out.
That's pretty much cool. Like it. So for one week, I kind of just started, I bred Squirtles. And I just kept launching Squirtles into the, because I'm like, that'll be fun. Like someone does. They train a Caterpie.
Yep.
They get a Squirtle out of it. And it's like, you know, someone will
I'm
actually
be shocked.
I'm not disappointed. Be like, oh.
And a lot of people do that when they're breeding for shiny Pokemon.
Yep.
Is because you mass breed Pokemon for that 1 in 3,000 chance of getting a shiny Pokemon. And a lot of times it's like, what am I going to do with all these Eevees?
Well,
internet.
Yeah, so you just start sending them out.
Because it's like your box gets full after a while. And the Wonder Trait's a really good way to get rid of stuff. And it's actually a surprisingly good way to fill up your decks. Because especially early game.
Yeah, you
game,
get stuff that
especially,
you normally
especially early see game, it's a really good idea.
Yeah.
It helps fill up the decks real quick.
So Pokemon,
November 18th. If you haven't pre-ordered it, you don't need to add to the stat.
You're good. I'll just download it day one. That's my...
So, the side thing about it, apparently GameStop is doing an earlier than midnight release for the game.
Interesting. They're breaking street date?
By like 4 hours. So, if you go to like EB Game, and this is more local. I'm not sure if it's out there in other cities or anything.
Way to squeal on them, dude.
They don't care.
That's right, GameStop.
They know that it's the most pre-ordered game. It's probably their most pre-ordered game.
Yeah.
Show up to the EB Games and you can pick it up at 10. And I was going to get the physical copy anyways, so...
Now, does that coincide because the digital release technically comes out...
I suspect that's what it was.
Because digital release comes out midnight Eastern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like...
I suspect that's
in the West, we get it at...
Yeah.
You can start downloading it. Well,
that makes sense.
Not 10
because
all the servers are going to explode, but...
I feel that's the reason why they did it.
I'm assuming.
That's a lot of times...
So that's actually not a bad thing.
No.
That makes sense. Because, then you're behind.
Yeah.
Because the digital people are like, I've been playing for 2 hours!
Bitches!
My guy's level 15!
So, and I was going to get the physical one anyways, because I got it for a pretty good deal on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
But my thought process is pick it up at EB Games.
Mm-hmm.
When the Amazon one comes in, I'll just return the one at the EB Games.
I'm just going to get the digital
copy. I was thinking about that. I was like, I would like to have it on me at all times.
Yeah.
But I have to know.
So after I get this one, I can take all of my Pokemons from Alpha Sapphire.
And XY.
Put them in my Pokebank.
Yep.
Delete both games. To get some room on my system, and then hop into Sun and Moon. Because the Pokebank is amazing, so you pay for it.
Yeah, but you can get all your games.
It's so cheap.
It's like $2 a year.
I think it's $5 now.
Whatever
it's like
it is.
Less than $10. Less than $10 a year.
For the entire year.
And you get 1,000 boxes.
You just load your Pokemon up.
Yep.
And then you get the, like, cross-platform.
And then you move them into...
And keep in mind, people are forgetting about this. If you picked up Pokemon Red or Blue
or Yellow,
the Virtual Console release, you can transfer those Pokemon into Sun and Moon. They haven't talked about it yet, but it's I'm sure it's one of their side
So
things.
I can take my Squirtle from Blue that I've been playing and...
I'm going to take my hacked Mewtwo in there.
So there you go. That is that. And now,
it's a pretty thin week.
Because it's a thin week... We are now going to talk about...
It's Halloween this week,
it
so...
is.
If you haven't already figured it out...
Which we're kind of hiding if we all, like...
It's more him than anything.
Yeah, he's hiding the haunted castle, but
I'm
either
just,
way...
I'm just gonna sit here.
Our top... We thought this was pretty scary. Snorlax was, waking up.
Yeah, these guys had never seen the pulverizing pancake trailer for Snorlax.
So
that's another sort of side, while we're talking about Pokemon, if you pre-order it and play the game before January, you can get a Snorlium Z item for Snorlax to hold, and then that gets you his
Z-move.
Pulverizing pancake move, where he just...
Which is horrifying.
He runs at you and he sits on you.
This is the most horrifying. Okay, so you thought that was horrifying. And then all of a sudden you see, like, Snorlax's butt headed towards you.
Yeah. Oh, and it's like, death. It's literally death.
If that's not insta-kill move, then...
Yeah, like, it's... Yeah, I would be very It does, like, 200 damage on the card game. Oof. Which, an average Pokemon's health is about 100. On average, 100, 150. It does quite a bit of damage.
So that's a good Z move to hold out right until the end. Like, you're, like, your opponent's on this last guy, and you... Because you can only use it once per battle. Mm-hmm. Either way, on to...
Horror.
Top horror movie, or movies, maybe, if you've got maybe, like, a tie for top horror film. Something that you would, like, watch over and over.
Last guy, go last. I didn't mean
that. He's still pondering. I'll go.
Okay.
I can go.
We'll go this way.
My top pick is, I know what he's going to say. So I'm going to go with another movie. Mm. And this one has not held up well over the years.
Yes.
But I'm going to go with The Haunting. With Catherine Zeta-Jones, Owen Wilson, and Liam Neeson.
Mm.
And it is about a psychologist who takes four people into a house and to study them.
Have you seen this movie?
I think I own it on DVD. I know I own it on VHS.
It's this one.
Yep.
That's the poster for it.
And back when it first came out, I mean, like I say, it's dated now. Because stuff comes out of the walls and stuff happens and things move. Like, it's
1999.
Yeah, it's a haunted it's a haunted house movie.
Yeah,
and stuff happens. So you watch it now and you go, "Oi!"
Because
like, there's cherubs. Like the woman's sleeping and her bed and everything is wood carved. Like cherubs in her bed, and you see them all like turn and start watching her as she sleeps. Like it gives you that creepy factor.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, and then the big thing comes out at the end, and you're like, oh, it looks really corny now. Like, it's at that point.
Yeah. But, yeah, and
like, it's not corny like Exorcist corny, where you watch The Exorcist and her head starts spinning, and you're like, oi.
That's cheesy.
But it's good cheese, because it's so old. You're
and,
like,
and they were done with practical effects, so the CGI isn't dated.
It's not like a CGI it's animated, a real like, it's, thing yeah, happening. Someone's, like, sitting under a, yeah. So that, like, those kind of cheese, to me, I still go,
ooh.
Yeah.
Whereas The Haunting, you look at it now and go, okay. So there's that one, and then along with it, and Owen Wilson's in that one, which always kind of, like, he's one of his first ones. Yeah, he's your comedic,
overly
he's your comedic guy.
Oh, okay.
And on top of that one is...
Liam Neeson's in this.
He is, yeah. Yeah. The Haunting?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the psychologist.
That's awesome.
So he's the one who's like, why are you thinking this way? And of course, in his lovely accent, where you're like, I don't know, Liam. And like, I don't know what makes me feel like this.
Stop judging me. I didn't take your daughter.
So there's that one, and then another one with a comedian, just because on that role, 13 Ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
Which has the guy who played Shaggy, whose name I can't remember right now, from Scooby-Doo. The Scooby-Doo flicks. And there's two 13 Ghosts. This is the newer 13 Ghosts. The old 13 Ghosts is not... Matthew Lillard is the guy. He was in 13 Ghosts. And it's one of those movies where...
He looks really weird without a mullet.
Just saying. Have you not seen Without a Paddle?
No.
Pretty good.
Seth Green, Matthew Lillard, and Dax Shepard.
Oh.
Like three really good comedians go on a outdoor backwards camping trip.
That sounds funny.
It's pretty good.
That sounds like a fun time had by all.
And then they get chased by hillbillies. Like
yes.
But yeah, 13 Ghosts, and he's more serious in that film. But it is one of those.
Yeah.
It's more jump scares and that kind of stuff. It's not the blood and gore and the guts and all that jazz, which I'm not a slasher movie person.
Yeah,
I prefer the atmospheric.
Mm.
And there is slashing and that kind of stuff in 13 Ghosts, but it does build up to that, like, you know, it gives you that atmosphere before it starts doing the slashing.
So
when the slashes start, you're already like, you know, you're into the movie. So my real pick is The Haunting, because it's always been one of those movies that I've liked. it's junk now, but I did like it way back when. And 13 Ghosts. Mm-hmm. And those are my other picks as opposed to the one that I know he's going to talk about.
Well, so. I know we both watched this movie in theaters. And no one knew what was going on. Well, I guess to preface this, I'm going to talk about Cabin in the Woods. This was the Drew Goddard, written by Joss Whedon, horror film.
They wrote it together.
They wrote it together, but it was directed by Drew Goddard, was what I meant to say there. So it's basically the ultimate... Have you seen Cabin in the Woods? Okay, good. Okay, so that's one less thing we need to work on with you.
I think I watched it, though, because Nick lent it to me.
It's on Netflix now.
I watch it all the time on Netflix.
If you haven't seen it, it's one of those small little horror indie movies that just no one knew came out of nowhere, basically.
Well, because it was going to come out, then they were going to 3D it.
Oh,
because
so many
3D
things.
Was in the craze. And then they were like, it's going to cost too much to 3D it. No one's going to watch this movie. Mm-hmm. And then it sat on a shelf. And then finally the studio's like, well, what can we lose?
Right. And so this
movie... It was really good.
Yeah, it is the ultimate epitome of all of those movie tropes, like go out alone or let's split up. And
then it like turns the odds.
Basically the last 45 minutes, half an hour is like what's going on.
Well, and you watch every other horror movie after that differently.
And that's the thing about it. It's like, that's not actually what's happening.
The Haunting, Liam Neeson was clearly placed. He's a person from the, facility that's making this happen.
Or it's anything from Friday the 13th, basically, too. It's like, those teenagers chose the hockey mask. Because and then the thing came after him. No, it's Cabin in the Woods really makes you think of what a horror film actually really is. And there's a lot of thought process behind that movie, and I'm really disappointed it took so long to come out.
Me too.
And my more traditional horror movie, I think I've seen it once or twice. I haven't seen it in a long time. Yep. Drag Me to Hell.
Yep.
I brought that up here briefly. I really like Sam Raimi's stuff when he doesn't have to do Spider-Man. But Drag Me to Hell was so good. And
that was a good one.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's like there's a lot of camera angles that are just kind of unique to Sam's style.
Yeah.
A lot of weird horror elements that aren't necessarily horror, and a lot of like thought process stuff. It's like, the witch is gonna curse you, and you're totally gonna get rid of it. Nope.
Yeah.
Kind of thing at the end of it all.
And those are the best. Like that's my problem with horror movies.
It's a classic. Drag Me to Hell is I think a really good modern horror classic movie.
It's like watching The Ring.
Mm-hmm.
Where the first Ring, because I don't know why they made a sequel to The Ring, but The Ring ends with nothing, like, you can't kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like... Yeah.
The Ring ends... That... Spoilers for a super old movie. But Ring ends with you have to pass on the tape. Like, essentially...
You have to murder somebody else.
You have to give them the tape and be like, watch this, then make a copy, then hand it to your friend and tell them to do the exact same thing. Because the person who breaks this chain is the one that dies.
Right.
Yeah, and then the whole Drag Me to Hell thing is the inevitability of, this main character is fucked. It's like they can't get out of this. They're damned if they do, damned if they don't.
And that's where I like horror movies, when they end with that, it's not over yet sort of thing.
And the nice thing about Drag Me to Hell, there's a few jump scares, but it's not all about jump. It's not the jump scares.
There's atmosphere and
The story.
Yeah.
It's the,
it builds stuff up.
Yeah. And that, Drag Me to Hell is really, really good for that.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge horror movie fan. I think I tried watching Paranormal Activity way back when I was a kid. I was like, nope.
That's a good thing that it makes you go
nope.
Because the first Paranormal Activity movie, going on to like a weird tangent, because it is kind of one of my runners up. First one, pretty good.
Oh yeah.
Second one, really good.
Oh my gosh, the second one
like
was
they
so
improved
good.
It dramatically, so well,
drastically.
What was the second one again?
They're all they blurring in my brain. They went to
I can't remember either
the other house. So they were tracking like the sister. And that kind of stuff. It was
the
prequel.
Oh, it was a prequel. No, the witch is the third one, right?
The witch is the third one.
Right.
That's the Mexican one, right?
No, the Mexican one was a spin-off that barely touched
the problem with these is I watched the first one by itself.
It's hard to
and
keep track of these.
I binged.
So the first one was their house was haunted with the baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I remember the first one. Yeah.
The second one was the family without the baby because they were trying to get, like...
Was that the prequel one?
And that took place right before.
So the very end of that movie is the end of...
Right. Yeah.
Oh, no. Sorry. Okay, the first one was no baby, just the couple.
Yeah.
The
second
one
was
with the baby.
Yes, okay,
because
the sisters.
They were trying to haunt the sister to get the baby, and all of a sudden the ghost was like, this isn't working, I have to, like, redouble my plan. Goes to the first movie, like, gets the other sister, who comes at the end of the... Spoilers again.
Second, it's a really old movie.
To steal the baby.
Yeah.
And that's how the other movie... And that was, like, the greatest ending, because it kept popping between cameras, and all of a sudden it pops to, like, the guy on the couch, and he's just watching TV. Then it pops away a couple times, pops back, and she's standing right beside him, slices his... kills him. And you're just like...
Okay.
What is happening?
So the first two are really good. Yeah. Then it went to The Witches, which was stupid because they're filming on a camera in the 80s, which means it's got to be...
Oh, that was like the really far prequel.
And then they did the Mexican one.
Yeah. The Mexican one was...
It was all right.
Yeah, it did have its moments. I did appreciate it when it got to that reveal at the end where it's like they teleported him to the garage in the first movie.
Oh, yeah, that was...
Or the second movie.
Just for no reason.
Yeah, it's like you're connecting them just... For the sake of
the then the next one I looked forward to, and it ended up being Junk 2, where the girl was on the webcam. Like, she was very connected to digital media. Oh, yeah.
Ending disappointed me. The of the movie was really good until the ending.
And the last one that came out was
the Dimensions one.
Yes.
Is that one? Have you seen that one?
Yes, I got the collection on my Google Play because I could get all six movies
And that's how I ended up watching all of them, is I bought them. Bundle, and that's why I don't remember which one's which.
So
anymore.
I bought the bundle because I'm like, I liked enough of them where I don't mind owning them, and I want to see the sixth one, so I watched it. Yeah. You get, and this is the problem again. You get two. They make him physical.
Oh, that's right.
Because you're in the ghost dimension, so you can actually see pieces of him, and then by the end of the movie,
it's like
there's a human form to this thing.
Yeah, well,
and you don't get to see a lot of it, but all of a sudden they make it physical, and you go. That's how you ruin these kinds of things. The whole point of Paranormal Activity is you don't know what's going on.
And then you let your imagination...
Yeah, fill in those blanks. Now all of a sudden it's like, there's a...
It's a lot of the fear of the unknown stuff going on with Paranormal Activity. And you've not sold me on the last one.
No,
I haven't seen it yet, so... But I have no intentions of seeing it. Maybe it's on Netflix.
The fact that I'm trying to remember what happened.
It's not, but when it gets on Netflix, I'll watch it.
Was it...
The wall opens up and you can act like the camera was built so that you could actually see stuff like you can see the shadow crossing the ceiling and actually like playing with stuff.
And they make a camera that's like we can see different like
they find the camera. They don't make it. You don't know how it happens. They find the camera.
It's all coming screaming back to me.
They find this camera and it's like, it's doing weird things and I don't know why.
We can see different filters and stuff like that.
Like why is it snowing inside but it's black dust in the air? And that's how they know that it's getting, they finally start figuring it out. Like, we can see, this paranormal activity. Yeah. And you're
wait, did they actually straight up use those two words?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay, good.
But we can see the paranormal
activity. As they look towards the camera, write us our check as we say the name of the movie in the movie.
But it's one of those things
it's like
now
a ghost
where
dimension.
All of a sudden, a guy runs down a hallway with the camera, and he turns around, and there's actually, something standing at the end of the hallway and starts walking towards him. And you're like, this isn't scary anymore. It used to be great when they'd run down
and
the hallway, close the door.
And there was a lot of tense moments in the beginning of that movie when you didn't know what it was.
But they close the door, and then you expect it, something's gonna happen in the room. Not like the scary part shouldn't be the thing chasing him down the hallway. I know something's chasing him. Him run into the room, close the door, turn around, and all of a sudden everything's on the ceiling. Play that joke again. I don't care.
I think that's what made the new Blair Witch movie so good. It reviewed very, very well. The one that we were talking about that came in early October, late November. It reviewed very well because it took what made the first Blair Witch so good, what people don't see in the forest.
The subtlety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, and I was never a fan of the original Blair Witch.
But I think, though, they did right by it.
That's what I hear. Because the first Blair Witch, to me, it was very...
is boring.
It was very boring. And then you're just looking at these people how did you get lost? I'm sorry.
But I think...
Actually, I watched a really cool theory video that there was no ghosts. The two guys were just planning on killing her the entire time. That was... And it actually made the movie make more sense. How they just lost the map. He's like, we're gonna kill her, so let's just throw the map away. Say we lost it. It was really intriguing. It actually made the movie 10 times better. And it made way more sense.
And again, and this is always the problem, where people get lost in the woods. And I get it with certain things. I forgot what movie it was, but there was an insane trucker, an RV that was chasing these people. I forgot what movie it was, because I went on a horror binge last year watching weird horror movies. And that I understand, because they were in the middle of nowhere driving to a specific place that was quite far away, lose their car, get lost in the wilderness of unknown.
Yeah.
Whereas the Blair Witch, they specifically went to these woods.
Yeah.
Well, if you know your car is parked to the west, it's almost like there's this crazy thing in the sky that tells you which direction you are heading.
The sun sometimes rises and sets in different directions.
It goes in circles. It's a circle.
The sun doesn't set. That is basic knowledge. Yeah. Like, the sun rises on a certain directional point, sets in a certain directional point. So even if it's a little bit off because of where you are in the world,
I think though, like, there's a lot of suspension of disbelief when it comes.
There has to be. Yeah. But in my that's what killed me with Blair Witch.
Especially nowadays,
we lost the
map. Our phones aren't working now too.
Oh yeah, and that's
I bet the Blair Witch plays on that too. The new Blair Witch. It's like, oh my, our phones are, our GPS is off.
And I get that if you're going in the woods.
Yeah.
There's you go through the mountains.
It's easier to actually have those things die on you than losing the map at least.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we didn't bring a map because we're in the 21st century and our GPS not working.
I know, I love that when people are like, you're planning a trip and they're like, oh, we have a map of that place. And you go, me too. It's in my pocket. So.
Anyways.
Yes.
Oh.
Horror films.
Oh, and I was going to segue from Sam Raimi, but.
Go for it.
Another Sam Raimi?
Sam Raimi!
He does good horror films.
I was going to do Evil Dead too, which also segues away from Cabin in the Woods.
There you go. Too.
Yes, yeah. Everything. Let's be frank. Yeah. I mean, everything segues from Cabin in the Woods.
Well, in the Cabin in the Woods, that's the same house, essentially.
It is. It is literally. Literally is the same house, I think.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
At least outside shots of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It is.
Even the little porch living room area. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's...
And of course, I was trying to think of something that actually scared me.
That's the thing. Like, there's a lot of them.
Because Evil Dead is. Evil Dead 2 is not scary. It is kooky.
It's a fun slasher,
right?
It's a horror comedy.
Well, I'm trying to look at my movie collection behind my video game collection on the,
Well, and then anything that I remember being scary was not a horror movie. It was just, I was a child and should not have watched this early in my childhood.
Batman Returns. Clowns, man.
That's a meta call there.
But I was at someone's house, watched Batman Returns, because I'd watched the first Batman on TV. This one I actually watched, someone had the VHS copy. And I watched that, and I remember distinctly, I was in one of those modes as my parents drove home, where I was awake but asleep. You're in that zone.
Oh, yeah.
And every time I looked up, I kept seeing, his henchmen dressed as the clowns, popping out of stuff, and it's just I wasn't scared. It was more just what is going... even at whatever age I was, 7, 8, whatever, I'm just what is going on?
You can almost say that with a lot of Tim Burton movies, too. Nightmare Before Christmas, Beetlejuice. A lot of those movies we really shouldn't have watched as a kid.
Yeah.
But now as an adult, we're all right. But as a kid, it's Beetlejuice, what's going on in this movie?
Yeah.
Is this... I'm getting scarred a little bit.
Mine was Psycho. Getting showering with the...
The Shining.
Yeah.
It's amazing, though. Alfred Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What he knew about horror. And there was... Psycho. You look at it and go, person gets stabbed in a shower. Big whoop-de-doo. But you actually watch it, and you do. You have that feeling after of, ooh.
The creepy crawlies. Especially when you get into the shower, and you're like... leave this open.
As soon as I can get underneath my blankets, nothing can get me underneath my blankets. Well,
that's
feeling.
That's the worst part of, in my basement, I will watch horror movies because they're good at night to watch. Yeah. Everybody else is asleep. I don't want to watch them on a TV upstairs, so I watch them down in the basement. Well, to get upstairs, all the lights are off because people are sleeping.
Mm.
So you turn all the lights off in the basement, and you know the stairs are there, and you know, to get to my room from here would be, up the stairs. Through the hall. I have to get through my entire house to get to my room.
Yeah.
And it's, and my stairs are real stairs. It's not even, they're basement stairs with, the spaces in between, some people have in the horror movies where, stuff will, come out. And yet I still, turn off the lights, scramble up the stairs on all fours, up the other set of stairs, and then it's I'm in the kitchen. I've made it this far.
And it's worse.
And then you're turning on lights that you know there's an extra light switch to somewhere else, so you turn on one and then run to the other light switch and turn it off and then run,
It's almost even worse nowadays when with our phones, with the flashlight.
Oh, yeah.
On it. And it's this is just as bad. This is exactly what I was just watching. If I don't shine into the right place, or if I do, I'm getting it both.
His mistake was only pointing it in one direction.
I gotta go everywhere.
But yeah, so Evil Dead 2.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, definitely.
Childhood traumas with Psycho.
It's like Alfred Jaws. Hitchcock, yeah.
You know what movie I wish I had watched, but I think hasn't aged very well? Donnie Darko.
I think you had to be in the moment then.
Yeah, like if I had to end up watching and reading some synopsis about it and how time works and stuff like that. I'm like, if I watched this now, I'd be royally confused.
Well, I remember watching it when I was really young. No, like, yeah, I've seen the whole thing now, but like, I remember watching as a kid. It's channel like, flipping and catching it somewhere in the middle.
Did you with start
the
with
the creepy rabbit? And I'm like, what the
shit? So, like, there's a whole... studies have been done on the story and characters.
Yeah, it's like time travel.
It is time travel, but it's more of like parallel dimension travel. Oh, it's super weird and convoluted. And again, it doesn't stand up to...
Cause
like, he warns himself from the past or from the future in the past, but he... It's super weird. He watches his own death. There's a lot of weird kookiness in it. It's more than just a horror movie.
And I know most of my friends watch Donnie Darko. Like, they love Donnie Darko. Yeah, and that was one of those things where I was at that point in my life where if people talked about something too much, I was like, I can't watch this because you guys all love it so much. I'm going to watch this and have a very differing opinion.
My expectations are going to be too high. And then if I
you're just sitting there like, okay, why does everybody like this?
What movie was that? 300. I watched and I went,
eh. It's an action movie.
Yeah.
Like, I finished watching it and I'm like, why is everybody
I've done that with too many games.
Right.
And people are like, this is the best game ever. I'm like, okay, let's see it.
So people talked about Donnie Darko, but I was just like, I can no longer watch this.
And you know what? You can just watch, like, you know, some plot synopsises and story analysis on the internet, on YouTube and stuff like that. And that would do you perfectly fine. Because there's a lot of messed up messages in that movie. And as a kid, it's like... How was I supposed to like pick up on that the timer is going backwards and and forward? It wouldn't have made sense as a kid.
Well, as a kid, I was just like, the bunny's scary.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's all you need,
right? Yeah, like what am I actually paying attention to? The more metaphysical thought process.
Yeah. And that a lot of it can be because again, it's like. You know, my mom always used to talk about The Birds because that came out when she was.
Oh yeah, The Birds was huge. Too.
Alfred
yeah.
Hitchcock's The Birds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like let's watch this. We rented it.
Oh, I remember that one.
But it's Rubber Birds.
Yeah. It's,
and you watch it, and I mean, I was probably a teenager when we had finally watched it, and I'm looking at my mom like, really? This?
Yeah.
You're picking this as like the horror film, and she goes, it was a lot worse. When I was younger,
this was
the pinnacle of filmmaking. Yeah,
effects, right?
Which sure back then.
It was, because your imagination back then really took you to, like, the birds on strings are legitimate birds. And, I mean, the atmosphere of that movie is scary.
The atmosphere is terrible.
Don't get me wrong, but when she's in the phone booth, which is the iconic scene of birds,
they're
and
just
there's just
whipping
like,
birds at
birds ever. I remember that.
That's what I mean. Like, you see that scene and you go and you just look at someone like, really? You're this was...
That happened to me again. This isn't a horror movie. I wanted to watch the old Tron movie again.
Oh
man. And I watched it not as a kid, but like as a youth. And I'm like, this movie is awesome. And it still kind of is for me. But I showed Amira and she's like,
what is wrong with you?
What is going on here? Because she had already watched Tron... Evolution.
Evolution.
Shitty one.
I don't mind it.
It's not good.
The special effects in there would have made the old special effects look sad. Yes. Yeah.
And so she's like, what is this? What is this trash? And I'm like,
you don't realize how huge
like
this
back
was.
Like back in the 80s, I'm surprised they pulled the special effects off in that movie. And same thing with the birds. It's like
totally.
It's like, rubber birds being thrown. You would not people would have thought to use real birds back then.
There was no other way. That's how
like,
you had to do
I recall a scene of them running away from the school, and there was like...
Yeah.
But of course, they're like... I'm pretty sure it's like a...
It's pretty much a green... It's a screen, because they didn't do green screens. It was a screen showing birds doing their thing, and them on a tread. It's like the when you watch old TV shows, people driving.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
what
it was. Yeah. People in a thing with the background
behind.
A giant green screen.
Yeah, with people on the outside of the car doing this, so the car, you know, looks like it's... Mm-hmm. But that was them. They're just like running on a treadmill, essentially, away from
whatever's
on that screen. So,
but that's
mentions just because of the shirt. Rob Zombie's remake of
Halloween.
Were they Halloween? Yeah, that was Halloween. Halloween 1 and 2.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I thought were really good.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th, the new one that came out that they only released one of with Jared Padalecki from Supernatural, was a really good remake.
Yeah.
The only remake of those, House like, classics.
House of Wax was decent, too.
It was okay.
House of Wax, that was also
Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Rob. No, that was in Rob Zombie's taste.
I feel like.
Yeah.
But Jared Padalecki and Paris Hilton.
And Sophia Bush.
Yes, I think so. But
that only makes that episode of Supernatural that much better.
That was pretty much the point. Because they were working on that movie together, like, at the time. So, but House of Wax. But the only one that I can't like out of all those kind of remakes, because Friday the 13th, I mean, they made it to 10 before they remade.
Yeah.
We're going to make him this. We're going to make him. And he was a hunter in that movie. Like, they made him brutal. Like, they went out to the middle of the lake because it's like, can't get us here. Bow and arrow. Like, don't screw with me. I am Jason. That was, like, it was creepy. They did a really good job. And then, same with Halloween, Rob Zombie went Rob Zombie. And then even the second one ends with a huge twist, and you're like, but the studio didn't make enough money off of it, so they stopped making. You're like, the only one was Nightmare on Elm Street when they remade it without Robert Englund.
Oh, and then they had the guy from, like, Watchmen.
Which, whatever, changed the actor.
Yeah.
They remade, like, scare for scare, movie beat for beat, the first movie.
Oh,
they so just like, remade the first movie, this, but with new effects. So, like, in the first movie, when he pops out of the wall, and it's Robert Englund with, like, spandex screen. So when he pops his head in, it conforms to his head, and it's his hands doing, like, all the stuff. They just did it with CGI. And you're like, that was part of, like, that was the whole Freddy thing.
Kind of like what I said, too, with the charm of using practical effects.
Yeah, and especially with horror movies.
And especially with Friday the 13th, because they're so ridiculous sometimes. Like, Johnny Depp in the first one gets eaten by his bed. You're not going to pull that off with CGI and have it look... It's supposed to be ridiculous. He kills them in the dumbest ways possible. So the fact that they remade that movie wasn't what pissed me off. The fact that they didn't have Robert Englund, that sort of kind of made me go, ha!
It's like he's not... It's not like he can't do that.
He can still do it, and he's still creepy as all hell. But the fact that they used every single one of the same kills... Like, it's like you didn't even... Like, at least Friday the 13th... They do. They go, well, what was happens it? If they just go to the middle of the middle of the lake?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Problem solved. They're in a boat. They can wait them out.
Yeah.
Fa-twang.
Yeah.
And you're like...
Oh, I didn't think you could drop them a machete.
Like, you're like, that was a good... Like, because they thought about it and they went, okay, we're going to remake the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, reboot it, not just remake it.
To follow the same script from...
The only movie that can do that is Psycho. You can remake Psycho 800 times, don't care. Like, it's you can use the same beats.
Oh, yeah,
there's only the one death. Like,
because that's...
If you don't kill her in the shower, there's no... It's not Psycho.
Right.
The reveal at the end is completely different, you go, no.
That doesn't make him Psycho.
Right.
But do you get Christian Bale back? Yes. The answer is yes. The answer is absolutely.
So either way...
He's not busy anyways.
That's my last. I just wanted to touch on the remakes mostly because of Halloween shirt. Because Halloween is a classic.
I brought that in.
Halloween.
I have no Halloween t-shirts. I'm not going to fit in that
for this.
Five nights.
I
wore mine yesterday.
I don't recall how I actually even got this cat skull one.
Yes, it is. From Loot Crate.
I canceled my Loot Crates.
We're getting the Wizard one.
The Wizard Loot Crate.
Yes.
Either who.
That's a side. Sword.
I was doing a Wizard thing. But
no, that's next month you can start doing that.
Wizarding starts next month. Either who.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast.
We still managed to do a decent amount of time considering we have nothing to talk about.
We can always fill. Thanks for joining us on this podcast.
Yes.
If you liked what you saw, come take a look at us on our website. It's www.barrelrollnews.com.
You can also check us out on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, sort of. Check us out on YouTube. That one's easy.
iTunes, Google Play.
iTunes and Google Play Music. You can get our audio version of our podcast.
We'll listen to our
voices.
We'll talk like this for about 5 minutes before we forget. And, of course, if you like what you see and you want to see more of it and you want to contribute money to us, Graham! Where can they go?
Where do they go?
Patreon.com/VR and then...
It is easy.
It is that easy.
Don't add a question mark to the end of it.
And who put a question mark at the end of the prompt?
And with that, all of the stuff that we do on Patreon, if we make it to our goals, everything goes back into the show.
Yep.
So you can watch us drink goofy drinks. You can watch us do more stuff because we'll have a little bit more...
It is your fault.
Yeah.
If we any of those things.
So it's not like we're even pocketing money. We put all that cash right back into making this just that much more exciting and fun to watch.
More fun.
So thank you for watching.
Yeah. Thanks for being here with us.
I'm Nick.
Goodbye. I'm Tony.
You're Cryo.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.